We are thrilled to be here. How many of you know Jesus is Lord in Florida? He's Lord in your life. He's Lord in your past. He's Lord over your future. And today, I just feel, this morning for the early service, we just claim this day is the day we are resisting the devil. Taking our stand in faith, and we're not coming off. How about you? We found out that the sufferings that the things of this world cause are small. They're little in comparison when you see the eternal work of God in you. How many of you can see what God is doing here? Oh, I'm telling you, this is a day when the hand of God is making a way where there seems to be no way. And this, you know, this second service, we're already warmed up. Y'all know what I mean? And you may have just rolled out of bed and just kind of got it together, but we've been moving. So, hallelujah.
We're always warmed up.
So, yeah. So we are ready to explain and proclaim the wonderful works of God. And I believe the hand of God is here to help us, to strengthen us, to go forward from this place. I was telling him in first service, I had a dream. And in this dream, I was walking down this path. And in this path, somebody was with me. And since I'm here as a traveling ministry for the past 36 years, one thing we understand is you're here to serve the local church. You know, we didn't come here, you know, you don't exist for us. We exist for you. We serve what God is doing in this place. And so as I'm walking on this path, I was walking, somebody was with me, and I just have this sense that it was you, because I'm here for you. And I'm walking down this path, and I was going down this path. I don't know if we were riding or walking. I don't really remember. We were just walking or going down this path, and all of a sudden, this lion jumped out. And this lion, when it jumped out, I remember thinking, that's a lion. What's that lion doing here? And that lion, then what it did is it jumped on my back. And when it jumped on my back, I thought, well, I didn't get afraid. I didn't get fearful. But I thought, I don't want that lion on my back. So I just shook it off. And when I shook it off, who I was with, which is you today, we just kept walking on down that path. And as we kept walking on down that path, I woke up this morning and I read 1 Peter 5, verse 8, where it says, cast all your care on the Lord, for he cares for you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. That means you got a little, it's like that donkey that got thrown in that, you know, that old well. You heard that story, and that farmer's donkey fell in an old well, and he didn't have the equipment to get the donkey out of the well. And so he thought, well, you know, I guess I'm just going to have to bury that donkey in that well. So he just started throwing dirt on top of the donkey just to bury it. And as every time he threw dirt on top of the donkey, he looked down and he saw that every time dirt got on top of that donkey just shook himself. And when he shook himself, instead of that dirt burying him, it caused him to get a little bit higher to the top of the well. And so as the farmer was throwing dirt into the well, every time he'd shake himself, he'd just get a little bit higher. And he kept shaking himself, and before you knew it, that donkey walked out of that well. Now I'm here to tell you, you can walk out of the place the devil and this world has tried to bury you, and if you'll take a hold of the grace of God, what was sent to bury you will actually carry you to a new place in the things of God. It is a day of victory because Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to sing about it for just a minute here. Are y'all okay? Well, I got my handy. There you go. This is one of those songs we like to sing here. What's the name of this church? Believer.
I won't be denied.
You know why?
No matter what I feel, he's living inside. Victory.
Oh, it's true.
Victory.
Yeah.
Victory. Victory. Victory.
Shake a little bit off.
I've been forgiven and I'm full of his love.
You know
My home's in heaven. I live for the
where you got a time limit, don't you? I'm just telling you, you can get something done that's without limits in the middle of a time limit.
Yeah,
aren't you glad for that?
Read your number right quick.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm telling you, if you weren't here for the first service, you can get the CD, whatever. I don't know how you do it, but we just really got to just, you know, tie the devil's lie up in a knot that can't be untied by him with the truth of God's word. I'm telling you, when the Bible says that you have put your faith in God, he's saying, look to the one who's greater than your problem. Look to the one who's greater than your weakness. See, sometimes you think it just depends on what you have, but the word of God is a message that's alive and full of power. I'm going to read you a scripture here from Hebrews chapter 4, and we're just kind of keeping on the same theme of resisting the devil that we took from the first service. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, the word of God, and I'm going to read it to you out of the King James says, is quick and powerful. I like that word, quick. Do you know that one of the attributes of the different awakenings during, I was reading Jonathan Edwards' notes, letters that he had written to some people. He actually had the first wave of the first great awakening. And he was writing his letters and explaining the characteristics. It's in a book called Signs of the Spirit. And he was characteristics of the great awakening. And he said one of the things that was most notable during this time when the Spirit of God was moving was how quickly things changed. And he said it was notable to me that things that we had spent years trying to accomplish would be taken care of in a day or two. He said things that would turn around in people's lives individually and in the community. He said it was notable. These were different things. Now, he lived through the first great awakening in the 1700s. They call it an awakening because it was a time when a community had gone to sleep and had forgot about God. But then the people of God, through the word and the Spirit of God, began to cause communities to wake up. And all of a sudden, the awareness of God was not just in the church, but it was in the community.
That's what it's all about.
Changed the direction of our nation. Did you know that? Through moves of the Spirit of God, the direction not only of people's lives individually, but the direction of our nation was changed. And if you read William Perry's book, Harvard Professor, as he was doing studies of our nation's history, he makes the quote and says, it was the preaching of the great evangelist of the first awakening, he said, that was responsible for the Declaration of Independence. That's a powerful thing. It wasn't a political power. It was a move of God that changed the way people thought about what was possible. But as I was reading these notes that Jonathan Edwards had written, one of the things that caught my attention, there were two things. One, how that things changed quickly. Things you could not deny how that things we had tried to do for years would be done in a day or two. People's lives that had been so destroyed by sin and so just in bondage to different things would, within a day or two, the change was so quick. Praise God. I'm telling you, the move of God is on. And the very last days, he says, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit. In the last days, he said, you'll see signs and wonders. Old men will dream. Young men will have visions. And it's kind of like the people who think it's about over will wake up with a new dream. And the people who think nothing's happening will all of a sudden see something beyond the problem. So, I want to read to you.
Y'all asleep?
So Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is. I got all that out of saying the word of God is quick.
So you guys need to be quick to respond.
Just no, it's okay. The word of God is quick and powerful. Clarence Jordan said, God's word is alive with energy. Alive with energy. Knox says, God's word to us is something alive, full of energy. Moffat says, the logos of God, a living thing, is active. Oh, I like this. Weymouth says, God's message is full of life and power. William says, God's message is alive and full of power in action. I like that. You say, oh, just tell me something. I don't want to do nothing. No, God's word is alive and full of power in action. It is called the book of Acts, right? Isn't that what it's called? It's not called the book of, you know, just the book of thoughts. It's the book of acts. And so, in other words, it's alive and full of action. It changes what happens. It changes it. And when the move of God comes in, I'm telling you, as quickly as it seems sin runs its course, the Bible says in Romans 5 that the work of God's grace is much more. It runs quicker than the work of sin. I'm believing that. Are you? That's why we're here today, to just demonstrate the devil's defeat and cause people to be a partaker of what God has done in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It's alive and it's full of power. So there's a word, and actually, it's just very interesting. Until we landed in Florida last weekend, I had never even read, in 36 years of preaching and ministering, I've never read this portion of scripture in a congregation. But it was started stirring in my heart, and I just thought, well, you know, you can get something you've had prepared for a long time, or you can just take hold of something that's just right hot off the griddle. So that's what we did this morning, and now we're just going to continue it today. This is out of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel is a prophet, and at this time in history, both Israel and Judah are both in ruins. Israel is all scattered because of Assyria, and Judah is in captivity in Babylon. I mean, they are just in ruins. They are totally captive. There was just devastation. Their future didn't even look like they had a future. They had been attacked, and they were just in trouble, you could say. They were nobody could see any hope. In fact, Ezekiel couldn't see it. But God could see it. And he looked for somebody who could see what he saw. And he gave him a word. I'm telling you, the word of God is alive, full of power, full of action. And it causes things to change. I'm here because the word of God puts things into action in my life. How about you? And so Ezekiel is in chapter 37 here. Ezekiel has a vision. And as he has this vision is so that he can see what God sees. Oh, I'm telling you, if you can see things the way God sees it, I mean, anybody can see things the way they are. And you know, a lot of times when you come before God, you think, you know, you just know and are so aware of the way things are. But God tries to give you a vision. You know, vision. He says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. And what he say? Young men will have vision. I'm telling you, fresh vision is coming, not from political parties, but from the power of the living word of God. And so Ezekiel is here, and I'm going to read it to you out of the NIV. And he said, the hand of the Lord was on me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. Now listen, you better get this, because I found out a long time ago that the Word of God is current history. I mean, it speaks to right where you are. That's what Hebrews 4 says. It's alive. It's not like a newspaper that, you know, once you've read it from last week, it doesn't, you know, it's not news anymore. It's just a paper, so you throw it away. But that's not like the Word of God. It speaks to where you are right now. And it doesn't just speak to where you are. It causes you to go to where God is calling you. And so in Ezekiel 37, it says this. Now watch this now, because Ezekiel, remember, Israel and Judah, the people of God, they're divided, they're captive, they're scattered. But the Bible says the hand of the Lord came on him and set him in the middle of a valley. And this valley was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. So he's in the middle of a valley of bones, not just bones, but they were very dry bones. In other words, if they were dry, that means they'd been there for a long time. It'd been that way for a while. And they were all over the place. There didn't seem to be any rhyme or order or any way that things could come together. It was too late, baby, too late. But Ezekiel is in this middle of this valley of dry bones. And the Bible says that he led him back and forth. They're all over the place. No order, no meaning. And he asked him, God asked him, son of man, can these bones live? Woo! Listen, when God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He wants to know, who you gonna believe? Son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, oh Lord, you alone know. Ezekiel said, you know, I don't even know if anything can change right now. I don't even know. Ezekiel didn't know. Listen, I always tell people, if you don't know, make sure you're with the crowd who does. If you don't know, don't hang out with people who all they're going to tell you is how dry it is and how dry and you're just a mess. You just are in crisis mode all the time. You don't have any hope. You don't have any future. You know who you are. You know where you were born to lose. Don't you listen to that. You better find somebody who knows what to do in the middle of a valley of dry bones. And that's why I'm here this morning, because I'm telling you, we're resisting the devil and we're taking the word of the living God, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can put things back together again. He can cause you to live where the devil said you are buried. You can shake it off and climb out of the hole. And that's exactly what happens. He said, and then he said, oh Lord, you alone know. But then God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones. You say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. You will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, make flesh come upon you, cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Jesus was in, where is that scripture? In the Gospel of John, when Jesus is coming to a Lazarus house and he's dead, and he comes and Mary says, oh, if you had been here, he would not have died. And Jesus said, oh, Mary, don't you understand? If you believe in me, though you were dead, yet you shall live. And the Bible says that Mary and Martha said, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And then Jesus said, I am, what is that? John chapter something. John chapter 5, verse 24. He says, maybe that's not it. I don't know. But it says, that's a good one too. But it's in there somewhere. Somebody tell me when you find it, because it's a good portion of scripture. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. John chapter 5, he does say that. He that believeth in me. You know, I'm just telling you, I just put this together about last night and this morning, because it was just something I just had to say. I got to prophesy to these dry bones. Gotta be heard. John 11, that sounds right. But it says, does say in John chapter 5, he that believes in me, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me is passed from death into life. But in John chapter 11, he says it like this. He says in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Hot dog, brother. Your body may die, but you never die. I'm just telling you, you just move. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection. And what did he say to this valley of dry bones? When he said to them, he said, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I will make breath enter you. You will come to life. I'll attach tendons to you, make flesh come upon you, cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you, and you will come to life, and you will know that I am the Lord. I'm here to tell you, this church, this congregation, us as a ministry, we are not about trying to just make your lives better. We are about causing resurrection life to hit every part of your being, in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul. You come alive with the very life of God. Come alive. That's what we're here to do. Come alive. And then while everybody else is saying, oh, they're dead and gone, they're buried. Don't you see them? They're dry bones, buried. Oh, I hear a word from God saying, oh, prophesy to those dry bones. You say, you know, I just don't think it's that way for me. Listen to me. If you'll begin to say what the word of the living God is, it's alive and full of power, and it will cause things to happen in your life. And so the Bible says, this is that when Ezekiel said, I love this verse in Ezekiel 37, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Woo! Boy, I like that. You say, well, it doesn't seem like it'll work for me. Just prophesy as you are commanded. Speak the word of God. You say, I'm just someone who's weak. Well, let the weak say, I am strong. He is the strength of my life. The joy of the Lord is my strength. His word is like medicine to me. It strengthens me for all that he's called me to do. I can do all things through Christ. Who what? There you go. You say, what happens when you begin to say that? His word is alive and full of power. And let's see what happens here in this Old Testament story. He prophesied, and as I was prophesying, right in the middle of what looked like nothing could happen, all Ezekiel could see was dry bones. But as he began to speak what God told him to speak, he began to see what God saw. As I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. Bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, tendons, flesh appeared on them. Skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. But they were beginning to be put together. The word of God causes things to get put together. Your life's like a jigsaw puzzle that somebody threw on the ground, and you don't even know how to get all the pieces together. But you begin to speak the word of God. I'm God's own handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I'm made for something good. God put something good in me. I have a work to do. It's the work of God, and it cannot be stopped by the failures and sin of this world. Greater is he who's living in me than he who's in the world. Those words from God begin to put your life back together. I'm here today, my brothers and sisters, because God has put my life back together. Listen to me. He can do it for you. He not only can do it for you, he's already planned to do it for you. Now, what have you planned? Because he's planned to do it for you. I looked at my watch. It makes everybody feel better. Doesn't mean a thing. Okay, but he said, it does today. I'm just kidding. So he said, that he tells them now. Now watch this now. Because it's not just the word of God begins to put things in order. But then you want that living power of God to breathe in you so that you can continue on down the path. I mean, they call runners who get there, you know, they're about to give up, but then all of a sudden something kicks in, adrenaline kicks in, and they get their second wind. Hebrews 12 says that you run your course looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You just, woo, all of a sudden, it's not just a word, but it's a living word full of the power of God. And that's what happens here. He began to prophesy. And as he did, he says, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds. Breathe into these slain that they may live. Oh, the word of God begins to breathe new life into your dreams that have been dashed by this world and sin. I'm telling you, he'll take the very thing the devil tried to bury you with, and he'll cause you to be a voice crying in the wilderness. I've been set free. I've been delivered. I'm healed. I'm whole. I believe God can put your life back together. You won't just be saying it over yourself. You'll be saying it over every person who hears your voice. And Ezekiel said, he said, I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. Verse 10, Ezekiel 37. They came to life and they stood up on their feet. A vast army. Woo, hot dog. They were an army. They weren't just just a bunch of trash. They weren't just a bunch of used up old bones that had no hope for anything to happen. They were the army of the Lord. They were the army of the Lord. And he said, and I prophesied, and the breath entered them. They came up into their lives, stood up on their feet, a vast army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we have been cut off. The New Living Translation says, they are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. But he said, therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm telling you, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. One translation says it. Actually, this is a paraphrase from Poole commentary. He said, I will open up your graves, though your captivity be as death, your persons and confinements close as the grave. Yet I will open those graves. I will lift you out, lend you a hand to bring you out with life, strength. I will be your guide that you may know the way, be your support that you may be able to go, your guard and defense against dangers of the way, that you may certainly come into your own land. Doesn't sound like just a one-time event to me. Sounds like they are actually going to own property in the place that God has brought them out to. And so do you. Because the Bible says in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father who has delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And in him you have permanent residence. Are y'all getting it? It's not enough for you to just hear a story and get stirred up. You got to just receive the very life and power of the word that God is speaking today. Because he said, you are my people. I will open your graves, Ezekiel 37:13. I will bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you. You will live and I will settle you in your own land. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Ezekiel stepped in the valley, it was dry. It was very dry. He didn't know if things could get better or not. But one thing he did know, I have to say what God says. I must prophesy as I am commanded. I'm here today. I came to church today to prophesy what God has said over my life, over your life, over this church, over your future. Is anybody else here with me? You say, you're too loud for me. Oh, I'm telling you, when those bones started coming together, there was a sound in that valley. And sometimes when people's lives start coming together, they don't know what's happening, but the Spirit of God is moving things, causing things to be clothed that had been just left for just to dry out in the sun with nothing. And he causes people's hopes to be renewed. And he's doing it today. In a fresh way. And I'm here, one who's ready to step out over the valley and just stand right in the middle of it and say, dry bones live again. Is that you? Is that you? Well, real quick here, let's just stand up and do it, okay? Everybody stand up and say, dry bones.
Dry bones.
Live again.
Live again.
Come together.
Come together.
By the word of God.
By the word of God.
Things that have been broken. Torn apart.
Taken away.
Held captive.
I prophesy.
Over my mind.
Over my body.
Over my finances.
Over my family.
Over my future.
Over my future.
Come alive. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word and that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Resurrection power. Oh, we might have lost a battle, but we didn't lose the war. Because Jesus is alive, we live also. Sit down for just one more second. Oh, as the Spirit of God is moving on your life, Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for the work and the breath of life because of your Spirit and your Word.
It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to live for Him. Though at times I failed, He's forgiven me. It's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from, to where I am today, and then you would know the reasons why love and song. Now you can take this world's wealth and riches. I don't need a fame. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today. Someone who may have failed to see the way. I choose once lost, oh, but I found the way to God. It's my desire.
Lois was saying the sin for the world, as she used a statement, the sin for the world. All I could think about when she said that was my sin. My sin. Today, some people are real confused about that word. That's why the church must never stop praying. Because until you see, you won't change anything. As long as you think like a slave, you'll be a slave.
So the word of God sets the captive free. Freedom that has been bought and paid for at Calvary. So do not be intimidated or hesitate to go forward in faith, but rise up in strength and say, Lord, I'm on the highway. Oh, I will not walk low with my eyes looking down, but I have hope for tomorrow. I hear a victory sound. And the Spirit of God will lift you up, and you will rise, and you'll say, oh, thank God, thank God, I'm all right. And with a testimony that sets those free who are bound and who are held in captivity, you will see, oh, he breaks their chains and causes them to leap and run. And you will be a part of those who know what the Lord has done.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory.
Pushing things in the spirit. We push things back. We push things away. We're getting into the spirit. Boy, you see things so clearer. That's why we.
Gotta come back Monday night.
This church has such a special place in my heart. I never can shake you guys. The call on this church. You see, I look for key churches around the world who know how to pray and who know how to stand in that place and know how to move and work. You see, the devil keeps shoving his stuff on people's lives, individually and corporately. He keeps shoving his stuff into us. But you know why? Because he doesn't want this move of God to stay alive. You got to pray for one another. Pray for one another. You say, well, I don't know why I need to pray for one. There's things you don't know. That's why you got to get in the spirit and pray for one another. There are people probably here in this room who need your prayers more than anything in this world, and you don't even know it. That's why when I come into a church, I think, God, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss it. Who's dying of cancer? Who's committed sin? Who's doing this? Who's going off? Oh God, I don't want to miss it.
Because the Word of God is alive.
Because it's
active,
too big,
power.
Too powerful. The life of God in us. It's too much. That's why I love that song Dad Hagen used to like. We are in the army of the Lord. How's it going?
With a prize.
Brought with a prize.
And we are going forth.
And we are going forth. There's nothing
that can stop.
There's nothing that can stop.
Your favorite song, isn't it?
This is my favorite song. You
want
to hear my
second
favorite one? Okay. There's nothing in this world
that
can
stop this mighty moving force with
a shout of praise and a two-edged sword.
Every stronghold of darkness must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free.
Every prisoner held
for
captive must be free.
For deliverance has come in the power of the Son. We're the blood-bought
church,
the redeemed. Woo! Now that'll preach in the middle of Valley
pray.
Of Dry
now
Bones.
Listen, I don't mind you clapping, but I'd rather lift your voice and lift your hands and say, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And what you got to see is when she's speaking to the dry bones, I'm thinking about all the people in Iraq, all the people in all these places around the world that are being slaughtered. Did anybody get to them? Did anybody get to them? And that's why the enemy wants to stop you with anything he can. Stop you with any junk he can throw on you and shovel it and shovel it and shovel it so you will not pray. But I tell you what, there's a band of believers. There's an army of believers. Even Dad Hagen had prophesied this new breed would rise up. Doesn't mean we wouldn't have problems, but it means that the problems wouldn't have us if we would stand up and say, you leave me now.
I want to ask you a question this morning. I know what time it is, and I want to ask
you. Loose my children, you loose my finances, you loose everything that God's given me freely so I can be a great witness today.
If If you're in here this morning, do me a favor, just if you would, for just a moment, just bow your head. Just close your eyes. If you're in here this morning and you say, I've never made Jesus Christ Lord of my life. I don't know him, but I would like to. If that's you this morning, would you lift your hand so I could see it? I just want to pray for you. You may have gone to a church. You may know about religion. This is not religion. This is a relationship with the Lord Jesus. He said, whoever has the Son, 1 John, has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Because Jesus is the only man who ever went through death, hell, and the grave and came out alive on the other side. But he didn't come out alive so that he would reign. He came out alive so that you would reign. If you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, would you lift your hand so I can see it? I want to pray for you. Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, there's some shaking off going on this morning. If there's anyone here this morning and you say, I am a Christian, but I haven't been living for God. I haven't been letting God's word direct my life. But this morning, I'm shaking off the pain. I'm shaking off the hurt. I'm shaking off the sin. I'm shaking it off in the power of God's word. And I'm coming out and I'm putting my eyes on Jesus. That's you this morning. Would you lift your hand? Yes, I see your hand. Yes. Oh, I'm telling you, people are shaking themselves. I'm telling you, it's called a waking up, causing us to rise where we were once held captive. Is there anyone here this morning? You say, I am a Christian. I am born again. I'm born of the Spirit, but I've never been filled with the Spirit. You say, what's the difference? When you're born of the Spirit, you're filled with the life of God. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you're filled with the power of God. It's all about demonstrating that power that raised Christ from the dead. And the Bible says when they were all filled with the Spirit, they began to speak in other tongues, speaking in languages not known to them with their natural mind. You say, I am born again, born of the Spirit, but I've never been filled with the Spirit. I do not speak in other tongues. If that's you, would you lift your hand right now? Yes, I see your hand. Yes, yes. Anyone else? You say, I do not speak in other tongues. I've never been filled with the Spirit. Yes, anyone else? One more scan. Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, the awareness of the supernatural, the things of the Spirit just increases with the gift of the Spirit. All right, now listen.
Yes, no, call them.
Would you do me a favor? Let's all stand together. Everybody stand. And if you raised your hand, if you wanted to raise your hand but didn't, would you please just make a come down to the altar just right here? We just want to pray with you. Just come out of your seat right now. Just get out of your seat and come on down. Everybody just sing with me. Praise God.
Come on, come.
Praise God.
I gotta pray quickly.
Come on. I haven't been living for God, but I've made an adjustment today. The word of God in my life. You just want to come to the front. There's something about acting on the word of God, putting actions to your faith that causes it to begin to work in you. And you say, I've never been filled with the Spirit. Anyone else? I've never spoken other tongues. Come on down. We're going to sing it one more time. Everybody knows this song.
Listen, any of you kids, and you say, you know what? I've kind of been cooling it for the Lord, and I really need to step it up.
Like me.
Come on down.
Everybody
here right
say,
now.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was lost, but
else. I feel like somebody needs to come. Was there somebody that came this morning believing for healing? Come on down here real quick. Come down, right, get right here. Come on.
I'm just telling you, the power of God is here.
He's on there.
Well, I don't know if it is or not. If you'll respond,
you
guys
take one step forward in this line.
Come on.
Yeah, just one step forward.
There we go.
Any kids? Any teenagers? Here this morning, you said, you know, Cindy, I've not really been engaged with the Lord's work, but I know I need to be. And I do want to see if you're born again, born again. Your desires have changed. You just need to notify your flesh. It's the Mark 11, 23, 24 thing. Flesh, no, I will not give in to you. I'll not give in to you. I'll not give in to you.
You got to come now. If you want prayer, you got to come now.
Because the devil, boy, he really...
Everybody who's down here, listen. I'm telling you, the hand of God's going to come upon you. When he does, the Bible says, I will pray with my spirit. I will pray with my understanding. So you say, when you pray with your understanding, it's your will that's involved, right? God doesn't make you pray in English, does he? Or Spanish or whatever. When you pray in the spirit, you're praying in other tongues. Your will is involved. He said, I will pray with my spirit. In other words, God's not going to make you speak. But as you willingly yield your voice, the power of God, the Bible says, comes upon you. And you begin to speak in other tongues as the Holy Ghost gives you utterance. In other words, the Spirit of God just pushes through and causes you to be able to communicate in a supernatural way. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God.
Guys, I'm sorry it took a little time, but this 8-year-old wants to ask Jesus into his heart, and I just wanted to talk to him a minute.
Praise the Lord. Come on down.
Hallelujah. You just come right down here. You just look at me. Just face me. Yeah.
Oh, aren't you glad? The same power that gives your spirit new life, the same Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that comes upon you, causes you to be filled.
He lives in you, and... power of God. God's living inside of you. His life. And for the rest of your life, it'll be your job to tell everybody about Jesus. Okay? Yeah, he's going.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, everybody say this prayer with me.
You don't have to leave. We need your faith.
We're good.
Okay?
Everybody say this prayer with me. Everybody.
Bow your head.
Close your eyes. So that you can just focus on what you're doing from your heart to God. Everybody say this. Say, dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For loving me.
For loving me.
And sending Jesus. To die.
For my sin.
And rise from the dead.
So I could have.
New life.
New life.
Jesus. You are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
You are my Savior. You are my healer.
You are my healer.
And you are my baptizer.
My baptizer.
In the Holy Spirit. And right now, I stand here.
To receive.
Exactly what they receive. In the Bible.
The gift.
Of the Holy Spirit. And I will begin.
To speak in other tongues.
Right now.
Now,
everybody, don't say anything else in English or Spanish or whatever language you know with your head. Just begin to use your voice and begin to lift it. And as you do, a sound will come out that will, the Bible calls, other tongues.
Sobrana, vekiri, 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 veki
increase of the things of the Spirit increases as you worship in the Spirit. They're all praying in tongues. In the last days, he said, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. He was talking on that day when the power of God came and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. He began to speak in other tongues. It wasn't just the speaking. It was releasing a work of God through their life. And he's releasing it through your life too. Hallelujah. Come on, let this atmosphere of faith help them receive exactly what they came for. Ebro bastino monda carambrosa. Ebro canalambre yo se. O le broste da la mando se. Yes, si da la moglie de Dios. Ebre che yo se.
Compassion and praying and wanting to help move things in other people's lives. We got it, but not everybody does something about it. The key to you, you will. You will, because you're already moved.
Praise the Lord.
The things you see, God will answer your prayers. Now the glory is going to come on you right now. We're not through. We'll be here tomorrow night.
We'll be here at 12:45.
We'll be here at 12:45.
I'm just telling you, we're just cruising on down the highway.
Some of you parents, make sure you get your kids back. So we've made plans. As the great Dr. Daisy Osborne once said, change them. We cry and we plead with God to move. Then the pastor brings a gift in that moves that way. We cry and we pray for something. We go, well, I didn't mean for it to come that way. And, you know, I'm kind of busy. The Lord told me the other day, rest. Now, and the scripture says you labor to rest. You'll have to work at it to get yourself in position to get the things you've prayed for.
One thing that helps you do it is get with people who are doing it.
Monday night, we pray for everybody that walks through this room.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. You said, that's all I'm afraid of. Well, you ask God. You ask for something, don't back away from it. Yeah, but he might reveal my heart. Praise God, good for you. You can't do anything until it is. You'll stay the same way until something happens. Something happens. It's like I said, as long as you think like a slave, you will be a slave. See, part of me, I just laugh all the time because I'm happy about that. But then the other part of me is reaching other people because they're not free. You understand what I'm saying? We're the only people that can cry and smile at the same time. We're gonna cry because we want it and then smile because we know it's there. Amen. For someone else. Hallelujah. Pastor Peggy.
Praise the Lord. Go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to tomorrow night at 7. Amen. It's going to be powerful.